Father, we recognize that as we're going to walk the mountains, sail the seas, or fly over the seas, we are in the end times. And we recognize, Father, that this end time is something that has been prophesied, predicted, talked about, but never fully understood. As we look into these end times, Father, we ask that you teach us your word. Teach us, O God, how to establish your word, establish the work of your spirit. We ask, O Father, that you reveal yourself even greater and greater in these end times. We are here to obey you. We are here to do your will. We are here to proclaim your majesty, your holiness, your greatness. We are all living stones dedicated to you. You will take us and build us into a spiritual altar that is worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be the bride of Jesus is our desire. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come and be established on the earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say, Amen. Well, we're going to continue that series that we have, that we took a break the last week, talk about end times, on the presence of God. And today we want to talk about the presence of angels. Because the presence of angels has been used to bring forth the presence of God. You have enough Bible stories so that you do not need to be perturbed about the work of angels. But tonight we're going to do something special. There are some pieces of white paper that I've asked for. And one of the practical sessions of this teaching, for those of you who are here tonight, because after the teaching we're going to go into prayer. And after the teaching, and there'll be prayer, and Pastor David and I were discussing what we do at the end after all night, because he's been taking the worship and I've been just enjoying that. And sometimes we do a bit of teaching or training. And so what we're going to help you is to learn to recognize in your life the voice of God the Father, the voice of angels, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of your inner man. And so to do that is afterward, during, at the end of this teaching, some of you can take pieces of white paper, or you can use your electronic devices if you can, so that from the time that we start praying after the teaching until we gather together at about 5 a.m. in the morning, we'd like you to write down every impression that you have, whether it be a thought, a word, and some of you who might fall asleep, a dream, and whatever you have in a lot. And then there won't be time for everybody to share, but then I might do it depending as flow with the Spirit, how we're going to do it in the morning at about 5 to 6, whether I might collect some of your impressions and then tell you roughly, was it an angel speaking, was it the Holy Spirit? And because we are trying to help you differentiate the quality of the impressions and the thoughts that you have. And Pastor David was struck by lightning, and that got him into the spiritual realm. My walk into the spiritual realm was a very long, long, hard, tough road. Of course, it doesn't mean that you all have to take as long. One of the advantages of being trained and mentored is that you could achieve it faster if someone teaches you. And so it took human beings hundreds of years from Archimedes, Pythagoras, after the time of Isaac Newton, to discover calculus. But you can teach a child or a primary student calculus in one day. And so there are some things that you can teach once it's fully understood on through a mentoring system. So in that way, we hope to be able to train you to hear your own angels, to be able to differentiate their voices from the voice of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing like actually analyzing your thoughts. During the process of learning to hear the Holy Spirit, There was a time in my life where for an entire day, I recorded every single thought that came into my life. When I discovered that God's voice can be like an inner thought, I wrote down every single thought that ever came into my head throughout a day. Then after that, later on, I wrote it down for an entire week. And then I will go back and say, okay, where did this thought come from? Is this from the devil, from me, from God, or where? And so I learned to differentiate shades of thoughts and so become very, very sensitive to the things of the spirit. And this comes through training, through meditation, through fasting. There are advantages also. I know that I will walk into open vision in time to come, which is not that far. But Pastor David has his open vision struck by lightning. What I have, I told him, was like we were describing each other's way of knowing the Lord, but yet we can receive the same thing. And so mine is like a radar. Radar, as you know, it works by bouncing off radio waves, and then you collect the radio waves back, and then if an aircraft is there, you know an aircraft is there. And the advantage of the radar was important during the Second World War. And you could tell your plane is flying, but you don't actually see the plane. You see an object flying. And there are advantages, but there are also disadvantages in the sense that if it's a big flock of birds, it also have a beep on the radar. And so you must differentiate between a flock of birds and a real plane. And so it takes greater sensitivity to differentiate. But there are also advantages. Like, for example, before when I arranged it so that Pastor David went to the airport with me from my place, and we had a few hours of fellowship before he fly to Auckland and I fly back here yesterday to Singapore. And so we were a few hours in Sydney Airport together, chatting, talking about things of the Lord. And then there was a screen there, and he said, "I'm going to check the weather in Auckland." So as he was walking there, I said, "Hey, Pastor David, wait a minute." I said, "Hold it." Then I closed my eyes for a moment and then talked to my weather angel. I said, "It's going to be sunny and cloudy over there." And he says, "Yes, okay." Then he went and checked, and it was sunny and cloudy. And towards the north, it was raining. So that's the advantage of the radar. Whereas he has to actually go there to see. I will just close my eyes, go into my spirit, go there, see, talk to my weather angels, and then they report. And so the sensitivity of being able to hear. So there's also an advantage. Like, you ask me, what's happening right now in the spirit in Toronto? I might be able to go there, check, and then come back. So traveling in the spirit. And he has seen my spirit go forth, and being sensitive to all the things in the spiritual dimension. So there is an advantage also, because the range is limitless. Radar has a range in natural, but the range of the spirit dimension is measureless. There are advantage. And imagine when you add open vision to that. Whew, okay. So a strange thing happened when Pastor David and I were together. So there was one time, when was it? I think when we set off here last Sunday night. And so we went there, and because I'm a frequent flyer, I fly economy, but accumulate the points, and then now we have advantage of being able to enjoy the lounge. So I brought him into the lounge, and then he's enjoyed all the, after you all left, he brought him to the lounge, enjoyed all the food there, and then he took his, and then we are sitting there, and then as we sit there, we finish all the desserts, and then I said, this thought is coming to me right now, so let's talk about it. And then he said, "Hey, same thought." So even though we're so different, we can receive the same signal. He receiving his open vision, I receive it through what I call my spiritual radar system. And then in picking up people's spirit, he can actually see your spirit man. And by the way, now his level of anointing has increased so much, that he actually sees your spirit man. You cannot lie to him. Yeah, you try to lie your spirit man, tell him the truth. But using my radar system is also the same. So there is a possibility for you all to develop sensitivity to the Lord, which is where my department in training and teaching, which why after tonight's teaching, we require to do some homework. You don't do homework, how to train. And that you like to, then you write down the moment we finish teaching all your impressions. When I mean every single thought, you write every single thought. And then at the end of the day, we'll be able to tell you whether this angel or this is not an angel. And I'll tell you why. For example, there is not just when you hear human voices differ by natural sounds, because a voice is produced by a sound. And the sound can be more bass, can be more tenor, and the voice can be louder or softer. And then the voice has its nuances caused by the structure of your voice box. And all this makes a voice unique. Some people have similar voices, some have very unique voices. And they are different from anyone in the world. But we all develop various voices, plus our enunciation of different words. So if we speak English, it has an accent that is produced by your background, your culture, or the kind of language you used to speak from the beginning. So all these are natural things. But what you need to know that is behind the human voice, is are different things. Like, just say hallelujah, Melchizedek. A little bit louder.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Now, in that voice is also a voice that carries excitement. Okay? Can it be differentiated? Now, in that voice is also, besides the natural voice, there is also spiritual characteristic voice to a voice. When you say that, your voice, people might not recognize. Your voice now was different from your voice about even 3 to 4 months ago. 3 to 4 months ago, when you say something, in that voice was also a sense of insecurity. That has minimized. There's still a percentage. In that voice is that insecurity that, let's say last time, if last time was, let's say, about 50%, now it's only about 10%. Say, well, you can detect that in a voice. Yes, that is in that. And that is there. So the confidence is there, but not yet there. And in that voice. So these are spiritual qualities of a voice that you recognize. And you could tell a person's spiritual quality by hearing the, not just the physical sound, by hearing the spiritual sounds that are coming out from their spirit. And I was going to do some experiments out here, but we are going to do some teaching. So when you hear a thought carries a spiritual quality. The spiritual quality of the thought of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, because we hear in the spirit through thoughts and also emotional sensation, impressions. And you learn to differentiate the spiritual quality of each one of them. And then you're able to tell whether it's your angel speaking or it's you speaking. And for me, I can tell you Jeshua Beam is speaking, or whether it's the other spirit of wisdom, or whether it's a voice of the Holy Spirit, or the voice of a different angel speaking. I could differentiate different angels' voices. Shama has a unique sense of authority. His thoughts, and so I could also detect that. And so it's important to be able to differentiate. And when you're trained, you could even detect the sense at the exact place where the thoughts are coming from. For example, some of you are not trained, not sensitive in that area. When you walk to different places in Singapore, certain places bring thoughts to you. And sometimes they are from the spirit over the place. Sometimes they are from the people surrounding the place. So when you're very, very sensitive, you could even pick the direction of where the thoughts are coming from. When there's a lot of humans, of course, there's a lot, it's harder. But when you got sensitive, you could pick up which direction the thoughts are coming from. And that is why when I receive, like Eddie has started operating in the spirit, he gets sensations, right? But you couldn't differentiate the sensations, whether they are the sensations of a sickness or problem that comes from a lady or a man. I can. So there is a difference in sensing, and there is a quality or note to it that is in the spirit that differentiate whether it's a man having the symptom or a lady having the symptom. Plus, I could also pick up the point. You know, remember Catherine Kuhlman's meeting? She could tell exactly where a person is. So when, if we are operating in a healing anointing, you will see me sometimes move about. And as I move about, if I pick up a sensation, I stop for a moment. Why do I stop? I stop because I'm trying to pinpoint the direction I got that signal from. And from the direction where the signal is coming from, I will know exactly where a person is seated who have the symptom. And sometimes it's accompanied by a vision. That is a bonus. But even without a vision, I'll be able to pick that up. After what you see, I talk about Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth also has visions. But most of the time, Pastor David was taken in time during this time that he was back there, back to Wigglesworth meeting. He saw 10 meetings. Wigglesworth was ministering. Wigglesworth also had an archangel with him and a spirit being with him. And that's why his meetings are very powerful. And but Wigglesworth does not know it was an angel. He just hear it from the Lord. But what happened is Wigglesworth hear it in thoughts. And when he received a thought, he was what? He could not, he didn't have open vision, so he didn't know it was an angel in his way. But Pastor Wade saw that whatever the angel instruct him, he hear it and he performed. As if the angel was there. Even though all he hear was a thought. And great miracles resulted from that. Great miracles. So just now we look in this direction. 1, 2, 3. Knee condition. So, when you open to the spirit, you can pick up things on different areas. And so this we want to teach, this we want to impart, because some of you have received your angel's name, but you're learning to differentiate your thoughts. We can help mentor you, help you in that area. And we need to, and so that you're accurate in hearing the Lord. And so here we are, and we're talking about the presence of God, and the subtitle, The Presence of Angels. So as we start on that, we're going to talk about a great miracle that happened. Last Sunday, we traveled back. We arrived on a Monday. And we arrived on a Sunday. We preached there on Sunday in the evening. And then after that, we had Monday, we went around Sydney. Yes, Monday, we went around Sydney. Tuesday we drove up to Canberra. Pastor David and I and Pastor my wife Amy took leave from childcare, and the three of us went to Canberra on Tuesday. And what would that date be on Tuesday? Actually, just a few days ago, I just got back. Okay. Yeah, that's on Tuesday. 27. Okay, 27, which is a Tuesday, which is only 3 days ago or so. Today is Friday, so it happened Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, 3 days ago. But 3 days ago from today, 27 of November, while we were driving from Sydney to Canberra, which is a journey of about 3 hours normally. You know, 2.5, 3, depend on whether you take a break. And normally we expect about 3 hours. And we started about 9 something. And so we started heading there. No, we actually later we did a few other things. We did quite a lot. By the time we left was nearly, we were quite not sure because we did so many things. By the time we left was most likely around probably about 10, 11, 12, 1. Okay, about 10:30. We left house about 9 something. We did this, did that. We got all different things came to do. And yes, I remember what we did that morning. Yeah, we did quite a few things that morning. And so by the time we left and all ready to leave, it was about 10:30. So based on that, we calculate that 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, By about 1:30, we would reach Canberra City Centre, usually about 3 hours. And so we started off on that day. And so we show you a little map of as we went near to Canberra. As we went near to Canberra, Sydney, by the way, is way up there. This is Canberra, just a tiny little federal territory of Australia, capital territory they call it. And this is Canberra here, and Sydney is way up on the northeastern section. So Sydney is way up in the northeastern section. Between Canberra to Sydney is about 275 kilometers, and roughly, plus or minus. And so if you were traveling about, if you were traveling, you take roughly about 3 hours if you don't break the speed limits. And then there's another northern road which goes to, from Canberra, and you go towards the northwest, towards Yass and Gundagai. It's a little town called Gundagai. As you go towards this direction onwards, it will be over 1,000 kilometers to Adelaide. So Adelaide is on this side. Now, I have driven to Adelaide about 5 times. And so I know this route very well, 5 times here. To Sydney, that is even more well. I know the route very well because we go there countless times, sometimes by myself, sometimes with others who are driving. And so we, from Canberra, because it's only about 3 hour drive, and so we go up and down pretty often. And because when they mark 275 kilometers, they might have started the marker from somewhere here. And but overall, that's about a 3 hour journey that you take to Sydney. So here we are in Sydney, driving, living there roughly about 10:30. And as we pass several places, we expect that by here is 11:30 mark, 12:30 mark, and 1:30 mark here. And because this side is shortened, so they can get in a map. But our last time check as we were leaving and coming near was at about the 11:30 mark. I remember that very clearly because when we drove in those highways, the scenery is lovely, and I would put it on auto cruise. And usually I set it at about 111, just 1 kilometer above the speed limit. I know that they will give you a few kilometers, and so I put a 111 and 111 kilometers per hour. Set it on cruise, and then you're just using your hand to drive. That's it, and your 2 feet are free. So it was the car was set on auto cruise at about 111 kilometers per hour, and about 11:30 was the last time check. And between this route, Goulburn, which is the nearest town to Canberra on the northeast side, is a McDonald's here. And then there's one more McDonald's nearer to Sydney. And so this point is roughly about a 2 hour mark, McDonald's, and here's another McDonald's there. And the McDonald's on this route is on the left side. On the left side, as you go upwards, it's the left side of the highway. Nothing, no McDonald's on the right side. You got to go up, since it's a dual carriageway, go up, and we drive on the same side of the road as you go up left, go on the flyover, and go towards the right side to the McDonald's. And so usually we drop by the McDonald's for a cuppa or some refreshments and a toilet break. And so by 11:30 mark, both Amy and expressed that, no, is it all right if we drop by for toilet break? I said, fine, I will go to the next McDonald's, turn in, and everyone has a toilet break. Pastor David also said, yes, a toilet break will be good for me too. So both of them need a toilet break. And for me, I'm okay. You notice I hardly drink the water there. I'm like a camel, so I can go without water for a long time. But when I drink, I'm like a camel. I really drink. And so the same thing with bladder control. And so there they were. And I know that this is the turning to Canberra. This road is called the Federal Highway. And here, the Northwest Road here is called the Barton Highway. And this road you take if you're going to Adelaide on this side. And so I know that before this major turning, there's a fork. You know, this is a fork on the road. On this fork, there is a sign that is on the left side, sign on the right side. You put on your right side as you're driving down this way. On the right side will be a sign that says, yes, and Gundagai. On this side will be a sign that says, if you keep left, it will be Canberra and Cooma. Cooma is a snowy mountain, 1 hour from Canberra, if you go to the snow. And there's a sign here. Then there's a sign before it to prepare you. And I think there's one more sign. There's three signs. And then in Goulburn, there are two major flyovers that goes up to Goulburn here. And then there's one more flyover somewhere here to Maruland or something. So there are three flyovers and about three signs before this turning. So about 11:30, and then we got caught between 11:30 onwards. We were talking and fellowshipping, and then we were talking about the Lord, about seven thunders, how important it was, and all the different things God was doing. And as we're talking about angels, their holiness, and the Lord, our conversation went to the seven thunders prophecy, how all the things that God was revealing in the end times, and how it's going to impact not only this earth, but it has to do with the whole galaxies. And Pastor David confirmed, remember the 30 archangels from other galaxies that came to visit us? The 30 are from three groups. 10 of them are from the group that is... okay, the background story is this. During the Satanic Rebellion, one-third of the angels fell. And so whatever worlds were present, galaxies were present, one-third fell. Now, it's not necessarily a straight line. This section, it could be here, 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 all over. The Earth is among the section that fell. At that time, Satan was ruling over the Earth. And then there were two-thirds that never fell. Two-thirds of world that never fell. And so, there are angels that watch over right now, worlds that haven't fallen. They are the guardians to ensure that nothing encroaches that place anymore. And then there's a group that, because Satan has been defeated more or less, pushed back, but not thrown in the lake of fire yet. So God is tolerating him in some areas in his mysterious way. So that group are the warring angels. When the demon tried to do too many things, go, you know, push them back or whatever, they could easily grab them and lock them up, but God never instructs, so they're just holding them back. And so there were the warring angels, warring archangels. Then there's a group that watch over the boundary. So we call them, for lack of a better word, the boundary. Archangels. These are archangels. Archangels, from what we learn of Shama, Shama has 70 generals under him, and about, did he say 10? Yeah, 10 or 12 archangels under him. And each archangel sometimes might have many generals under them. So we're talking about archangels with many generals. A general will have 1 million angels under them. And lieutenant might have 1,000. So they're all there, the way the angelic forces are structured. We are beginning to understand them more and more. So you work closely with them. And there are, when the 30 left, there are the three leaders of the 30 who are still up in the atmosphere of the earth watching this earth. They are interested in what is happening on the earth in the end times. They witnessed what we did in Madaba, and three of them are now up over the atmosphere of the earth watching the events. To them, the end time has started. And when they landed in Madaba, their first question was, is this it? And of course the answer would be now, this is it. Is the last move. And so three of them are now over, and when we were talking at Pasir, I say, I wonder where they are watching over, because I know that they have to have a point. Their position is of a point. And we found out that one of them is directly above Israel, one of them is directly above Russia, and one of them is directly above Australia. And that's a different archangel altogether. Those are from other galaxies. So you can imagine the destiny of Australia, which you're all going to have a part in. And so we were talking about these spiritual forces from the heaven and how they're interested in the seven thunders and how significant that for 2,000 years the seven thunders prophecy was not revealed. And God has to prepare humans until we come to this level in the end times. And so we were deep in discussion, talking about the seven thunder prophecy at, from the 11:30 mark, and talking about God's holiness, how holy He is, how we need to walk in great holiness as we approach this, because it's not just humans doing the job. Behind it, a lot of spiritual forces interested in what's happening today. Tonight, there are a lot of angels that are also around. So how do you know? Radar system pick up their heartbeats and pick up their spiritual dimension. So you ask me to describe them. Sometimes I could, sometimes I can't. Depend on whether I have another accompanying vision. But there we were coming. And by the way, the angel COG says he's going to bring all his 10,000 angels to witness the altar building. Wow. So it's a lot of things happening there. And you all heard the seven thunders prophecy, so you know how important it is to the planet Earth. And it's not just for this planet. This that is happening to Satan is like the Waterloo of Satan. You know what the meaning of Waterloo? Waterloo was when Napoleon Bonaparte was defeated. That is his Waterloo. It became an English expression. So this that is happening in the end times is the beginning of the total annihilation of Satan, first from the planet Earth, then from all the galaxies and worlds that have fallen. And so it is an important moment. And so as we were talking, and we were caught up in our discussion, somewhere at this point here, we must have been transported, because I was looking out, and Pastor David was sitting on my left, Amy was behind, I was the driver. So as I talked with my eyes still on the road, multitasking, I sometimes look at his face. And so as I look at his face, I can look outside where his window was. And so as I was talking, halfway, and sometimes my eyes is fully on the front, then once in a while I glance here at him. So very natural when you talk to someone, you glance without taking your eyes on the road, because it was cruising, was a straight road all the way, very easy. Right? When you will find out when we are on that route. But whether you all were to be transported there, I'm not sure. Might be too heavy to carry some of you. And anyway, when we were, so as my eyes were glancing at Pastor David, and as we talk about the things of God, the anointing got heavier and heavier in the car. So to talk about the conversation, the atmosphere before we were transported, it was so anointed that I was almost preaching as I talk. So my hand was going this way as I was expressing myself, say, you know, the greatness of God. And as I looked at him, and meanwhile, I was keeping an eye for the turning to the McDonald's for their restrooms. And so I was keeping an eye on that. I know the road very well, so I was looking for the flyover with a big McDonald's sign. And so as I was looking at him, suddenly, while we were moving close to this point A, we were suddenly at this point. I didn't know it yet. I did not know it yet. How do I know? Because suddenly, from this point, we were at this point B, because I saw the sign that says Baton Highway left. Now, I have driven both sides a lot. There is no such thing as a Baton Highway here on your left. And so when we were transported from here to here, and God transported us and the car, that is an amazing thing. Like you could transport us, the car will be left by itself. And not only that, the transport was done while the car was traveling on cruise at 111 kilometers per hour, 110 officially it should be. And So I suddenly see this Bataan Highway on the left, and something in my spirit says, very loud, says, this is the turning. And I said, cannot be, because I knew that I was supposed to turn here. My spirit man knew I had to turn here. But I say it cannot be, because number one, is Bataan Highway, not Federal Highway. Number two, we haven't even reached Goulburn. You have to reach Goulburn before you come to the turning. And then, where was the McDonald's? And where were the signboards? And so, my mind could not accept that we have been transported, translated yet. We had to think back. It was so fast. It was within not even a twinkling an eye, a nanosecond. It was before you could think one thought to another thought. It was at the speed of thought. And now we know that's how fast the rapture is going to be. In the Bible days, it said twinkling of an eye in 1 Corinthians 15. But that was their expression, because they didn't have a measurement system. To them, that was pretty fast. But it was like a nanosecond. And when I was transported, when we were transported here, I knew something was different already, because the scenery all here was different. And so because I had only a 3-minute reaction time, at 111 kilometers per hour, you know, you have to be pretty fast, signal and go in. But I was, you know, going straight, because my mind thought we were still here. Except it didn't register. How come got Bataan Highway? Never seen that road before on this side. So my mind was saying, okay, perhaps it was there all the time and I never saw that road. Maybe there's a Bataan Highway somewhere in New South Wales and that I've never noticed before, because I could be looking straight. Or suddenly the sign came out, the road could have been Bataan Highway. And it was never be a big signboard there warning that that's the road. And so that's a reaction. So, but by the time we passed here, past the Bataan Highway turning, as we're going on and on, I noticed it cannot be, because the scenery was different. And I'm quite familiar with this scenery here. And they say, everything looks different. From this point here, everything starts registering different. And then I saw a McDonald's on my left, which there's no McDonald's here on your left. And then before we reached the McDonald's, I was already telling them, I say, folks, I think I missed the turning to Federal Highway. I was thinking maybe I could be here at this point. That I could be traveling so fast that maybe I was here. Or somewhere here, or maybe somewhere where I missed this turning. But I knew that there were 3 flyovers, 3 signboards that I must have missed in a blink of an eye. And so, but by the time it reached somewhere near here, I say, wait a minute, this looks like the highway to Adelaide. Because there was one part of the turning that I was taken by the scenery. It was extra trees, and the way the trees grew naturally, and the way the highway arched a bit to the left before it goes straight. It was so distinct that I remember the arch. And when we went to the arch, I say, "That this is the road to Adelaide. How did I get here?" And at that time, I had not been looking at a map much. I mean, I never noticed the distance between this turning and this turning. I did not notice. I will assume that this one is very near to this side. So I miss it by a little bit or whatever. So I never bothered to look at that section of the map until we came back that night. And so I say, okay, folks, this is, I might have missed the turning. And so at this green point here, I did a U-turn. And we were talking. And by the time we were talking, Pastor David says at this point here, he says, yes, I think we did miss. And from his side, this is his story. So 3 witnesses. His story here, he's a man who says, always look for signboards. He always read signboards along the way. So all along the way, he says, he from Sydney, he will say, how many more kilometers to Canberra, how many more. He will notice all the signboard. And so somewhere about 11:30 onwards to this point A where we were taken in the spirit and in the body, taken and transported. And by the way, point A to point B is roughly about 100 to 110 kilometers. It would have taken us an extra hour going at my speed. And so for Pastor David, he was checking all the road signs that come, and we have two types of signs, we don't have milestones, but you have kilometer sticks. And it's all short form. Like Goulburn would be like, I think, GLB. Then you put how many kilometers J. So the sticks will point to the next. In case some of you are driving, when you're in Australia, you see a kilometer stick. So it will go less and less over time. And Pastor David was looking at the green signs with white letters. And then he noticed, before here, he noticed there was a sign that says something like, that he has to share from his side. It must have gone something like Goulburn, because Goulburn is here, is the next town. They always put the next town. So Goulburn, so the signboard will say Goulburn, how many kilometers, because the top will be the first town you reach, then the second town, third town, fourth town. So the signboard he read was Goulburn, how many kilometers, and then he would say Canberra, how many kilometers. No, Marulan. There's another turning off to Marulan. So where the town is not there, but the turning to the town, they will also list Marulan, how many kilometers, and then you might have Canberra, how many kilometers, and then another little town, maybe Yes, and then Gundagai. Gundagai, Yes is somewhere here, and Gundagai is way down here. So you would list all the little turnings to all the towns. And so there were about five or so. Gundagai was probably about number five. Canberra was number three. And so he was watching the sign from here, somewhere here, watching. And then we were taken, we come to this point. And as I missed, and before this turning, he noticed a sign. In the sign, Gundagai, how many kilometers? And he says, cannot be, because Gundagai was number five. What happened to all the towns? His first question was, he said, are we in Canberra? He said, I said, why? Because the Canberra sign disappeared. And so suddenly Gundagai is there. Remember, it's number five. Pum, it's right, it's the next town out. And Yes was also listed, Gundagai. So he says, hey, you know, how can it be? And there were signs that point to Yes. And so he says, suddenly he says, he remembers that when I was talking here, when from this red line here to this green line, we were already talking about being transported. And I say, then we all look, we both started thinking. I say, I noticed a frame change. Like I look out at him and there's a window. It's like a frame change scenery. Shoom! And then there was Button Highway. And for him, he says he noticed like a frame. And how we describe it is like when you got long video and long ago the old videotape has just reels and electronic, and then you splice it and you join it together. And so you go from one frame to another frame in a nanosecond. You don't even feel the movement. You just continue. Just like the way they edit a video. You can edit a video 1 hour, cut off and join nicely, just go to one, from one scene, go to the next scene. And so that was what he remembered. And so both of us were quite convinced something supernatural has happened. And then Amy, of course, was saying, I think it's still ahead. And she said, you know, I think, he says, you know, maybe the rain, the what, then the trees have grown more, the bush has grown more, maybe the scenery has changed a little bit, and things are definitely more green. And so she say, no, I think it's further ahead. Keep driving, it's further ahead. You know, keep driving. We might reach a delay. So she was very convinced it was still ahead. And so I said, so up to this point where I was By the time I saw that curve turning, I was 100% convinced I was on the road to Adelaide. It's too familiar. And then I make a decision. Pastor David couldn't, because he doesn't know the terrain. He's not sure. Maybe the science, whatever. So I say, look, the best way is, I noticed we had a GPS in the car, but we never use it because I knew the route. So he says, okay. When we reach this point, I say, I don't know how many more U-turns we might have. This is a highway. So I say, let me take this U-turn, park it on that side, and we stop the car on the other side of the road. It's a dual carriageway. And let the GPS confirm where we are. So, I mean, okay, the GPS will tell us. So, we stop the car, program the GPS to find Canberra. And true enough, the GPS, Canberra is way back. I say, when the GPS confirmed that we were actually somewhere here and not here, we all knew we were taken in the spirit. Shoo! And these are the things past. Then when we accepted that we were, have been taken bodily from one point A to point B, and when we look back, then we realize, yes, we begin to remember the frame. And I remember, wow, the angels are so precise. Pick me from A to B, give me only 3 minutes to turn. Turn left. And it was actually just enough time to signal and go left. Because I had three, you know, of course the distance was enough to cover, because they expect you to travel. In Australia, if they put 110, they expect you to travel 110. Not less than that kind of thing. So the distance was enough within 3 minutes to keep left and then go into Baton Highway. No second chance. These angels are really take you. I mean, if they put me somewhere here, give me time to react or whatever, and slowly let my mind catch up and say, hey, I think we are on a different route. It's a different thing. But just right here, and there's a turning. I like, immediately I saw the sign. And then 3 minutes ahead, that's the turning. There might be a second sign, Baton Highway. And from my experience, it was like suddenly the scene was, and they were so precise. They dropped us off at point B where there's a big sign. You cannot miss it. A big sign that says Baton Highway. Not a small one. Like they wanted me to see the sign. Say, this is the way. From Pastor David's perspective, as we were traveling here, and there were a lot of farmland here, farms here, farms here, he noticed something very interesting. That there were angels in the hills. The hills were alive with the sound of angels. Right, anyway. He noticed there were angels. But when we were transported here, he noticed the angels increase. Almost 10 times as many angels. So he noticed, wow. Suddenly, so in the spirit, he noticed there was a change. That there was a lot of angels all over the hills surrounding places. And by the time we realized we'd been transported, we had to U-turn here, come back, and turn down here. We were also caught up in the moment that we, as we're traveling and we took this turning correctly, and then all over he saw angels, and then he saw the archangel. Bright like archangel. And he saw the archangel in charge of all the angels. And this archangel have 10 generals under him. There were 10 million angels under him. And they were all over the place. And then we were so excited, we forgot to look at our time. So our next time check here was 12:30 at point C. We said, hey, 12:30. And there's a little town along here called Maranbetman. And so it will be towards the SM Maranbetman and then Canberra. So as we were heading towards Maranbetman, we had a time check, 12:30. So when we look at the time, 12:30, confirm we have just been transported in the spirit, and that's a powerful miracle, because 12:30 from where we had our last time check, on this side, 11:30. 12:30 would be somewhere here, because 12:30 here from Goulburn here to Canberra here is 45 minutes. So you add another 15 minutes journey here. It's 45 minutes from Goulburn to Canberra, another 15 minutes out. And so 12:30, if we were not taken, we would still be somewhere here. But instead of being here, we were here at point C. And impossible, even if I missed the turning, let's say, and I went on here, then turned back, it would have been 1:30 here. It would have taken you another 1:30 or over to reach this point, point C. So we were surprised we were taken there. That is an area that we would not have come to at all. Bill Canberra is down here. There were angels all over the place. And so we were taking, and so by the time we are here, then we stopped for prayer somewhere, and then we went on to Canberra from here, and they both also don't need any toilet breaks anymore. Neither did we have any McDonald's anymore. Everyone was so excited, and we were caught up in the awe of the moment to realize that we just experienced being physically transported. Physically transported. And three witnesses, and each one will share their account of what the experience was like. And of course, the three of us were thinking, hey, if the three of us just say we were transported and didn't tell you anything, you all will have your wild imagination, wondering how it happened, what happened. Maybe suddenly there were angels all around the car, and then the car goes vroom. Or maybe the whole thing went electric, like Back to the Future. And then, we were enclosed in a cloud, and then shoom, we were in a different place. If we didn't share the details, you guys were wondering what it was like. It was so fast that it took time for our mind, our body to catch up. Before you could think the next thought, you know, like you think of one thought to another, before you could think the next thought, it's already done. So when the Bible says in the rapture, and these are all for us to experience next time the rapture and traveling in the spirit, that in the twinkling of an eye is also very slow. It's like a nanosecond, just shoo, and you're there. And you wouldn't even have enough time. You know, long ago I was teaching at the same coming to the rapture. I was disturbing people and say, you know, and people want to accept Christ at the last minute. So they're going to wait till the sound of the trumpet, then they quickly accept Christ and go to heaven. And so I was disturbing them, thinking, I don't have enough time. They're going to say, ah! And then the rapture has taken place. In this speed, you can't even open your mouth. Yep, that's it. In the middle of the sentence, before the next word that joins the next word, you're taken. It's that fast, whether it be transportation or translation in the spirit. And which also tells me that when Enoch what we got and was not, that's it. No accompanying thing. Of course, God can accompany with wind or all the chariots like Elijah had. But if he wants to, he can just do it in a nanosecond. So we realize that we are transported about 110 kilometers distance in a nanosecond. And the car will probably weigh about 1 metric ton, also was taken. And so I was disturbing everyone. I said, wow, this car is now anointed. Now cannot, you know, you got to keep this as a sample or whatever. And this car is touched by the power of God. And Pastor David said, wow, when I go back, I'm going to wash this car. And he loves washing car, by the way, and I realized that. But that was something tremendous that happened. And all along the way, We saw angels. I tell you, this, the grouping of angels all over here was a lot. You're talking about millions of angels all over every high place. And from here, you have, when you look over, you have a good look at the Brindabella Range. You know, the Blue Mountains is somewhere up here, but here the Brindabella Range, where in winter you get Snow Peak Mountains, lovely scenery, and all the whole place there full of angels. And by the way, where we're going to build the altar is here. You can see here Uriara State Forest. Okay. And there's a river that goes in somewhere through. This is the Brindabella National Park. So somewhere inside this place. So here's Canberra. We're going to drive to this place and you're going to have all night prayer here in the Uriara Forest. It's a mountainous region here. And we're going to be one of the rivers there. All night prayer, you can have your picnic, your camping there, and build an altar to the Lord. So all this whole region and all the areas surrounding, all were filled with angels, and the archangel was in charge over all of them, many of his generals. And so that's a tremendous wonderful experience that we had. I've traveled in the spirit before. And Pastor David went to seven churches. My spirit have gone there, and in the spirit have gone to various places and pray for people, even minister in the spirit, but not with the physical body. This is the first time that we experience physical transportation in the Lord, and it was an experience that really changed us. Something happened in the realm of the spirit. So fast, like a frame change that took place. And then we did notice that after the transportation, there's an awe about the place. The brightness of the archangel was like the sun. And he was over in charge, preparing Australia for his destiny for the end time revival. And then during our conversation here, we're talking all about the angels and all the what. And here's the thing that we realize about when we talk a lot about angels. A lot of Christians nowadays, especially charismatic, they understand that people need to be free from devils and demons and sometimes got deliverance. So when you talk about people being free or from demonic oppression and all this, you know, they don't bat an eye. And they say it's okay. So that's the negative side. It's strange that when you talk about angels, then well, cannot talk about angels. Then you can talk about demons, can talk about angels, cannot. So it's very, very negative and one-sided without realizing the importance why. And this thing happened because God is demonstrating to us. You work with angels, you will see greater power that the angels have always demonstrated all the time. Throughout the Bible, angels were sent with mission. One angel can slay an entire army. And tremendous things. We work with God the Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, and you work with angels, and you're open to their work. And of course, all three of us, actually, it was the team one. And now it was like David's mighty man, the top three team, Shammah, Jashobim, and Eliezer. And all taken. So some of you say that, wow, if only I were there, I would be there too. I'm not sure, no, if you were there, you might pull us back. So, maybe they transfer, stuck here. You need a certain faith level. And yes, we all assigned. And the other thing is that, were there any cars around? Very strangely, at that very time it happened, because for me, I have a peripheral vision when I'm driving. I'm aware of what's happening in front, what's behind. And good driving skills, as somebody tell you. When you drive, if you got a lot of serious car, you don't follow the car in front. You must see what's happening, cars of you. Because if the car in front breaks suddenly, you might not have enough time. But the car in front of the car in front of the car in front of you breaks, you got lots of time. And so I was keeping an eye on my rear wheel mirror. There was no car at that point. And so I was always aware of cars that's around. They choose a point of time when there was nobody watching. And suddenly, we're taken right to the spot. I'm still amazed at the place that they choose, right at the signboard. If after the signboard, I cannot see the signboard. I mean, I see the signboard right on the turning too late. But it was the signboard warning you just that the turning was coming. So it was immediately, that's how I know the exact spot. It would be the spot just as where the signboard appear, clear that I can see Barton Highway, very clear. And so it was to be had to be right there before the turning, 3 minutes before the turning. And there was no one around. Because if there were other cars behind us, it won't be too bad because all they see is the car disappear. Say, where did it go? And so they might be overtaking us, you know, and they might smile at us, and they smile at them, and disappear. And so that might have been interesting. And these are the areas and the thoughts that have come to us even as we meditate on transportation. And we did ask God, Lord, why is the significant? Why? One of the answers that we have is that we wouldn't have driven into this area, this Canberra here. So actually, it was the angels, under the charge of our angels, working with the Holy Spirit, who actually brought us right here. The archangels and all that were, you know, in this general region there. And all the angels grouping together. And during one of our conversations, we are saying, I wonder when did all these angels arrive to Australia? When did they arrive? And when did this... Because there's the Australian, the angel over Australia, the archangel over Australia, is not this one. He's another one. And he's in charge over all of Australia. And so this archangel is different. This archangel is to prepare Australia for this end time. We say, wow, a special angel assigned just for Australia's destiny as a sovereign of the Holy Spirit. And when did this archangel came, we were told that this archangel came when Smith Wigglesworth, listen carefully, if Australia you're listening, and those who know Smith Wigglesworth, when Smith Wigglesworth went to Australia, and out there we got Smith Wigglesworth book, that recorded that prophecy. The reason I had that book, there's not much material in the book, all just testimonies. The reason I had the book is, in that book is a prophecy of Smith Wigglesworth about Australia and New Zealand. When Smith Wigglesworth went to Australia and New Zealand, there was a great revival under him. And some of the archives talk about his revival. And among some of the things he did, as I mentioned, is in that book, where he was staying in a hotel, and he came down, he saw a man with a goiter or growth. He went to the man is a total stranger, he doesn't know the man. He went to the man and said, Jesus name, and pull it away. Instantly healed. And then he walked away. I mean, the man must be. Didn't even come for his ministry for healing. And that's how powerful Smith Wigglesworth was. And so there's a powerful revival. And when Smith Wigglesworth, when he left Australia, this archangel came. He came with Smith Wigglesworth. Now, he might have been working, and I believe he was working with Smith Wigglesworth. We found out that this is Smith Wigglesworth's angel, the archangel that worked with him. That's how he became very powerful. And we know this archangel's name also. Because on that night, after we finished Canberra, we went several places. We visited here, and then we went back to Sydney. That night, in the spirit, I was taken to this place here. And Pastor David was also taken there. And for me, because it was partly a dream, I don't remember seeing him. But he saw me here. So it's funny because he stayed in my house. And the next morning he get up, I get up. And then we always time to go out about 9. And so as God, I say, Pastor David, I was taken last night to a place like a habitation of angels. And then I told him my interpretation. I believe that this place here will be a habitation of angels like Madaba. And I said, it's a habitation. The word was habitation. And then Pastor David confirmed. Because for he had open vision. So Shama took him to this place here and he talked to the archangel there. And I was also drawn by this archangel in the spirit. While our bodies were in Sydney, our spirits were taken here. And the whole night that I was there, the first night after this transportation experience, it was like the whole night I was talking to angels all the time. They were one after the other, one after the other. So many conversations and instructions that then from the time my head hit the pillow and I worked hard at night, after all this visual thing, I still got to spend time with my thesis study, 2-3 hours, then I was asleep. So by the time I sleep, I really sleepy and I sleep very fast. For the time I lost consciousness and slept, the dream came and it was all angel. Angel never had dream. It was not really a dream, it was a spiritual encounter and I knew what was happening. So right until the time I woke up, all angels. Talking to them. So I was taken to it. I said, it's a marvelous way. And he said, yeah, you know, because he saw my spirit here. And Shama took him here and all that. And you thought that was it. Every night, and one of the side effects of this transportation is now every night, even if I sleep, I know that from my spiritual world experience, every night my spirit goes somewhere. Sometimes I'm aware, sometimes not. But what has happened after this experience is now I'm aware 100% of everything that's going on. Last time, sometime aware, sometime not. So it has been like that since. So far, it's only been 4 days. And then the second night was also interesting. That is second night after the first night we were taken there. Second night, I was in this place where I was also in the spirit doing something. I was 100% aware, even though I was sound asleep, which I never before now. Now it's like the dream is lucid dream. And then towards the end of the dream, there was like something like a person there that is figuratively representing there, and then a snake tried to come across this person, and then in that particular dream, I sort of put my foot out to crush or push a snake away or push and snap with my leg. I remember doing this action in my dream. Then at the moment I did that, in my dream, I remembered Pastor David liked to eat snake. Right in the middle of the dream. And I remember, then in my dream I say, wow, how nice it will capture this snake. And I let Pastor David eat. I say, Pastor David should come and kill this snake. Because I don't eat snake, but Pastor David eats snake. So as I put my foot this way, and then I had a dream that I saw Pastor David. The moment I mentioned Pastor David, he was there. And so that was it. Then I got up. Again, on that day, that morning, we got out and we got our old schedule. From 9, we want to do something. Then, as we got into the car, I said, Pastor David, I saw you in my dream now. Then, he said, yeah. Then Pastor David will say, yes, I was taken to a place. And then, as I was, for him, it's not a dream. He got up early, he went jogging. So he went jogging. And then, as he jogging, he saw a snake. And then and he saw a snake in the spirit, like he, you know how he get, got, he cannot tell natural and spirit. So he got in the spirit, and then we realized, wow, both dream the same dream. But his one was like a vision, and mine was like a dream. And then we described the snake, also sama, same snake. Isn't that odd? And those things were happening, and it was more like, the message that was given to us that second night was this archangel over this end time says that since we were there, since we went there to Canberra and all that became, and this revelation became what? That's why from then on, Canberra became more important than Sydney. That's why we decided to have more time in Canberra. So everything changed. And the archangel says that the enemy is now alerted. They're aware that there's some spiritual activity because all behind, before that they saw the angel but they're not alerted. They're alerted and they are being also becoming more aware that something powerful was happening. And if you remember on Tuesday when this thing was happening, Australia experienced its red tide. There's no accident. And we were because on that day after the snake one, when we were going down and we took a train, Pastor David pulled a paper, newspaper and said, "Wow, red tide." And we believe that during Moses' time when he turned the water into blood, it was not real blood. If you were a scientist in those days, you might also find that it was some sort of algae or algae, however you pronounce that. Some say algae, some say algae. But the water looked like blood. Of course, in our modern scientific world, since we understand a lot of these things scientifically from the atomic level, most people cannot see the science behind it anymore, or the prophecy, or the things that were going on in the spirit anymore. But it's very significant that all those things happening. And so there is a great spiritual dimension. And as I say again, we begin to see signs and wonders too as we move into all these phases. And these are angels whom we know his name now, which we cannot reveal to you, was the same archangel that worked with Smith Wigglesworth. And this archangel is going to be working with us. Can you imagine? All the anointing. And Smith Wigglesworth, before he left Australia and New Zealand, a young man came to him and said, "Wow, what a great revival. Signs and wonders like never before." And Smith Wigglesworth looked at this young man and says, "Young man, what you have seen is nothing. Like what I've seen, there's the greatest revival that you've ever seen is yet to come. It's going to come upon this land, Southland of the Holy Spirit." So New Zealand, of course, gets its overflow. For you Kiwis out there, right? Haven't left you behind. And so New Zealand is going to have that too. It's part of that last great revival. And so you have this. Now we know the actual name of the archangel of Smith Wigglesworth that you're working with. Plus, as I mentioned before, remember the other archangel, actually he's an archangel, William Branham, when he started with me in 1950s, he is assigned to me, but he hasn't come yet. Because there are things that must finish first. So when things speed up and happen, I will have three angels with me. Jeshobim, Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Wisdom that was assigned to me, I asked Pastor David one time, I said, "Hey, this Spirit of Wisdom, is it one of these in the Bible?" Remember, Moses had the Spirit of Wisdom. So I say, if Shammah permits the knowledge, then let it be revealed. So, but, you know, tap into the cube and have a close look. And because one day I was reading the Bible, I said, "Hey, I sense that I got the same one as one of these Bible people." And Shammah was very gracious. He took Pastor David, shortly after I asked that question, back in time to Moses and say, "Look, can you see anything?" And David, being open vision, say, "Oh, nothing." And took him back to Joseph and say, "Can you see anything?" "Yeah," say, "there's a Spirit of Wisdom." And then he say, "Look again." And then he look again. Then he say, "Hey, that looks exactly like the Spirit of Wisdom that is now with me." And then it was confirmed. The same Spirit of Wisdom that was upon Joseph, that who is actually, we call him Spirit of Wisdom because he's a different type. He's a category 2 type of angel. And so he is the same one assigned also to me. Because I am like a Joseph in the end time. And instead of it being the land of Egypt taking all the Israelites, we're heading this revival. And we're taking in people from all over the world. And it's a bigger parish. And so from all over the world, we'll be taking in the end time believers. And we'll not only be protecting them spiritually, because the demon will not dare to cross where the archangel draws the line. And neither the Antichrist or his fallen angels. We are not only protecting them spiritually, but we will also be providing for them naturally. Because by that time, signs of the mark of the beast will be out there, and people will have no food to eat, no place to go to. And as you saw in the Seven Thunders prophecy, the great part of the world is under water through earthquake and through the ocean rising. Land sinking, ocean rising. Entire nations will disappear. The whole world will be rearranged itself under the King of the North and the King of the East dominate the world. And the King of the North will, of course, be together with the nations of the false, that represent the false prophet, and they will join with the King of the North and will come against Israel. And so all these are end times. We are living in the end times. And we are working with angels, archangels of the highest category. We are still sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit manifests itself, more like a cloud. And so it is interesting. Then Pastor David and I now realize where our call is. When in the end times, remember in Madaba, Enoch and Elijah were there in the habitation of angels. And then they have been waiting for generations to train, to raise a new generation up. And in this end time, he found me a willing vessel, Pastor David a willing vessel. And we are being trained with the anointing of Enoch and Elijah to also protect God's people. While they are taking care of the Israelite, the people of God, we are taking care of the Gentiles in the end time age. So what a privilege. And then on the last day before we fly off separately, we were also talking at the airport. And then we're talking, every time he says something, sometimes I tap into the cube and see visions too. And I saw Enoch, how he was walking around. At first he was alone, and he was, all the mountains he walked were, and because he walked and built altars there, the angels of the Lord began to use that as a habitation. And so that's where Madaba became that. And so here, Australia is our base. And from there, and of course Singapore, here that to finish the unfinished work in Asia. And then we'll be planting 10,000 churches. Not me personally, I'll personally probably plant about 10. But the disciples that we raise up, the second rank generation, we raise up, train them in Bible schools, and then anoint them, impart the anointing, and angels and spirit beings will go with them, and they will travel all over the world. We will plant base churches, and then from the base in each continent, they'll plant churches all over the world. Our angel of COG is different from other angels of churches. He has 10,000 angels under him, because COG's destiny is to plant 10,000 churches. So you can imagine the callings that some of you will be involved. Some of you will be traveling, and some of you will be so experienced by that time traveling in teams that you experience translation in the spirit too. And remember one of the law of the spirit. Once you experience something once, it easily happens again and again and again. When you believe in it, accept it, and flow into it. So we just have experienced our first transportation and translation in the spirit. And so more of it is going to happen. More of it is going to happen. The only thing Pastor David and I were taking is that I'm sure God understands. He won't take us, translate us in our pajamas. Hey, like, hey! You know, you're preaching that now. You wait till you dress up, you know, all that, and then you translate here. Those are our little jokes. We always joke with each other. And we find humor in every situation. But but coming soon, when this other archangel joins with me, will be signs and wonders and manifestation in the natural. You see clouds, lights appear, and so and then there will be healings and there will be creative miracles that take place. So these assignments are all interesting. Pastor David has his three generals and Shama, code name for his angel. And many of you being raised up today. Remember some of the angels, your angel code name is Mighty Man of David. They are very important. And if you are faithful to them, God will give you more. And so it's important. So this is the sharing, the testimony. Let's look at some Bible passage. And today we flow with the Spirit in that manner. Sometimes we teach the Bible and then share testimony, or sometimes we teach and share testimony at the same time. Sometimes you will share testimony, then you look at the scriptures and prepare ourselves for the things of God. In the Bible, we have realized that the occurrence and appearance of angels have always been timed exquisitely by God. And we want to talk about how sensitive angels are and how to train ourselves to be sensitive to them. You don't have, this Smith Wigglesworth didn't really have open vision. All he was sensitive to was the Word of God and to the thought dimension. And he was one of those who would never eat until you read the Bible. So if you went to lunch with Smith Wigglesworth, he will take his Bible open and he will read it first. And then he said, before you feed the natural man, you must feed the spiritual man. And he's a really a word-based man. And look how far he went, even alone of all things. And he's, of course he has his wife, but spiritually he was there pushing forward alone, while Pastor David and I have each other to motivate each other and push forward too. It's interesting that he has gone so far with his knowledge and with his revelation. But here, as we look at working with the angels of God, we look first at the Gospel of Luke. As the angel Gabriel, you see, all the different, and don't think that any of the angels or archangels cannot do miracles. Gabriel also can do, except they don't do something because they're not assigned to. I'll give you an example. Or they didn't choose to do the job. Let's say if in the natural, something has to be done somewhere in the jungle, I wouldn't volunteer. You know, that's not my portfolio. But Pastor David would go. That's what he loved too. But let's say if there's an assignment to research in a national library and locate about 3 or 4 types of important archives or books, Pastor David wouldn't volunteer, but I might. So it's so angels, when they choose to work different things, it doesn't mean that their powers are limited, but they are experienced in certain things, so they choose, they volunteer, and also God assigned them those jobs. In the Gospel of Luke, we are told in Luke chapter 1, the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And as he was doing his duty as a priest in verse 11, 10 and 11, when the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You notice that there was trouble and fear at God's manifestation. And that's not always the case with everyone. But you remember the story Pastor David shared about how he ministered to a little girl in hospital whom he knew was going to die. And then somehow the little girl, about to die, she had a bit of open vision. She saw our angel Shama. When she saw him, she was afraid. And she thought it was a demon. She thought that, she would say, until Pastor David bless her and say, no, that's an angel of God, and you're mistaken in your spiritual perception. Just as the devil can appear as an angel of light to deceive people, people have mistaken sometimes angelic work and work of spirit beings as demons. Sad, that is sad, but it has happened. Because all spiritual activities sometimes cause fear. The same way where a lot of people are afraid of working with angels, I challenge them to read the Bible. They're all over in the Bible. And the people who say we don't need angels anymore are the same one who, if they were alive 100 years ago, they would be teaching don't need healing anymore because we got enough science. But it's always necessary to have all the gifts of the Spirit. And there's so much activities of humans and angels working together that we need to understand how to flow, how to work with angels. And I will talk about three dimensions. The three most important things that angels are very sensitive to, you have to work with them, is number one, your emotions. Angels are sensitive to what happened in your emotions. Here, when Zacharias was filled with fear, immediately Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid." He has to calm his emotions. And our emotions can hinder their communication to us. Our emotions can hinder the way they work with us. And there's one particular time when sometimes things happen, and I've seen, and Pastor David has seen it too, when the angels that were watching over people, watching over a place, the angel, when something happened, the angel actually went aside. And you know how one time when we were doing a lot of prayer, praying for Singapore and all those things. And people need to know what to do, where they are. Some people are overzealous. And in the early days of our Friday night here, and we pray for Singapore, pray for these things. I remember one time we had a man of Singapore praying here. And then we pray, and then some sisters didn't know their boundaries or what. They come all the way here, you know. And without even asking or checking if it's okay. And then the first time is okay. Second time, then third time, then wow. And then the next time she wanted to do that again. Because I couldn't stop it in the middle of it. So when that was happening, some of you will notice it if you watch what was happening during those days. If we had the video, you could replay. You'll find that I went to the wall here and go, you know, like that, and pray. Say, Matt was there, why was I going to pray? And I'm going to pray and say, oh, this is all the flesh coming again. And it was not done in the spirit. It was me sighing. You know, but still keep trying to pray. And the sister is not here, so don't look around. So you say, Is it I? No. You would have known the sister, the person, as we went into this manifestation angel, one of the first things is this sister disappeared. She didn't accept the angelic thing and all that, or what God was doing. It's good as she goes. And but she always thinks that she sees angel, you know, all those things. All that. But part of it is human zeal, and not really of the spirit. But so all you hear, all right, okay, so don't tell you. Somebody say, is it I, you know? And but I actually did that, and then after that I was telling Pastor Dave, say, oh, you know, this people are not sensitive to the spirit, you know the little things about what to do, what not to do, how to flow with the spirit, and sometimes they overstep and they don't know what the spirit wants to do, what the spirit don't want to do, and then. We have actually seen, Pastor David actually saw some personal angel in some of your lives go, oh. So don't make your angel go, oh. Again? Good thing your angel is not human. So your angel don't express, they don't seem to have the same human expression like we have. But they do feel it. Your emotions do affect their work. And there are times when, for me, I don't have open vision, but I can sense what is happening to their heart and to their mind. See? And Pastor David sees outside in their expression. I sense their heart emotions from the inside. And so a few times I ask for confirmation on some of the things. I say, is this what you're seeing? Because I'm sensing this, I'm feeling this, that this is how the angel is reacting. And more than one, sometimes when you all have wrong emotions or negative emotions in your life or somebody hurt you, all this, and you all started to react, you know how your angel go? They might not actually do that, but there is at least one time when a particular angel actually went to the wall like that. So you can imagine, when you begin to know what's happening in the spirit, you realize the things that affect them. And angels thrive in the atmosphere of Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. They thrive in the atmosphere of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, 8, 9. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have virtue, whatsoever things are, you know, all these wonderful things, think on these things. So angels are sensitive to what's happening in our emotions. And there's one particular time when people were opposing the new revelations that were coming for, and they're all in line with the word. I challenge everyone, find me a scripture that contradicts what is happening so far. You cannot find any. Yes, some of it may fill in the blanks. And we would not accept anything that's not in the word. 100%. You show me a scripture that says, hey, this is against the Bible, then we will have a close look. But so far, in all the manifestations, you know, only talk about holiness, talk about growing closer to God, talk about being in line with the word. And here we are talking about angels being attentive when the word of God is read. It's bringing you back to Jesus, bringing you back to the word. So there was this one time when Pastor David had opposition to the angelic manifestation, and some people say things about the angels. And by the way, at this point, just to mention that angels are also very, very sensitive to protocol. So whenever you address Pastor David, you know, I'm just calling Pastor David in a sense. Whenever you all just say, David, the angel, you know why? Because the angels that work with him respect him. Then they expect humans also respect. Now, you know Pastor David, I also know. He doesn't look for all these things. But it's the sense of what's flowing from the heart. So in that way, it needs to be able to understand this angelic sense. I realized that they are really super sensitive. So there was one time when Pastor David had some sort of things that he's, and then people write to him and then mention that when he was reading that, wow. And Pastor David is more expressive than me, and he felt the emotions of these wrong things that people are saying about the angels. You go, And then Shama was with him, and Shama said, don't what? Don't think about this thing. But he felt the emotion. So the first level that affect angels, the first level is just emotions. You might have different type of emotions. Being human, you have emotions. You feel emotions in different things, and life happens and all that. But don't let those emotions move you to the next level of Philippians 4, the opposite side. Instead, in Philippians 4, the words that I quoted just now, Philippians chapter 2, chapter 4, it says here, in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So think on these things. And when Shammah was warning Pastor David not to think of the wrong things, the negative things, he was also implying, if Pastor David allowed the negative things in his life, he himself might face consequences. for allowing the negative thoughts in his life, because then it will affect the work of the angels. So the second level is your thought life. Your thought life affects the work of the angels. It frees them or it binds them. Let me throw another scripture in. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the same way, and try to think about this, all truth is two-edged. It is true of the negative, it is true of the positive. If you have a chance, read I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin. In one of them, the Lord taught him how demons possess people. First, with a thought. Then the thought becomes an obsession. Then the obsession becomes a part of the person's life, drop into the heart. And then by that time, the person is controlled by the demon. The demon enters into the person. From sitting outside to enter and possess the person. That's the negative side. Haven't it occurred to you that angels are spirit beings? They are also affected by thoughts. When we accept the thoughts of God, thoughts are always in line with the Word, we can become, quote-unquote, I won't call it obsessed because there's a negative word, you become what I call renewed in your mind. Your mind is always thinking things in line with the Word, a renewed mind. Then when that renewal, the mind goes deeper, it enters your heart, the Word enters your heart. There is this second category of angels where they merge with your spirit, where you become one with them. The spirit of wisdom that Joseph had was always with him. But the other angel that I have, which is a spirit of wisdom, whom I also know the name, he is not just with me. He is merged. And Pastor David saw this merging, and when he first saw me, he saw a light here, which I have seen before too. And I realized it was a merging of these angelic forces with me. In other words, we function like one. We function. That is why, if you ask me anything from the Bible, it just flows out. It's not just me. It's also partly from this spirit of wisdom that flows forth. So day and night, you wake me up at 3 a.m. in the morning, I will find something in the Bible to teach you. And it's because it's merged. It's reached a stage. But not everyone is merged with spirit. That's why now you understand why we call, even though the angel, there are 7 classes of angel, and this second category in charge of governments and all that, government of the earth, that is, not the physical human government, governments or forces. Natural forces, power, natural forces, and all that. They have the ability to merge with human spirit to function together like one. And just as demons possess people, these angels don't possess, their free will is still there, but they function in one, unity. And remember, in the spiritual dimension, things can unite, and the unity is much different than before. This merging process is important to understand. You know, like this in the book of Revelation, you see these monstrous women and Babylon and harlot, and then you see all these creatures in the book of Revelation, and also in Daniel's dream. We see countries like monsters. Well, we have more understanding of that now from analyzing Pastor David's vision. When he was in Madaba with me, and 2 of us went to what we call Enoch's Hill Mountain. I was taken in the spirit, and he was taken also into the second cube. From outside, ours first, theirs second. But actually, ours is second, theirs is first. But for reference, we say the second cube of the universe is taken. He suddenly saw 2 angels came. Shama was him, and I believe it was Michael that came. And then they laid hands on him, and he see this. These forces of a huge-looking monster thing like, and he prophesied against them. But as he prophesied, they split into little, like, entities.
Then he realized that they were formed by coming together. They joined. Almost like what you call the Transformers. Isn't it a Transformers that all the little cars joined together and became a big giant robot? Then each of the little cars can split up and each one is a robot in that sense. So they join together become something more. Some of these cartoons or imagine must have come from the spirit dimension, the ability. And now that we know, when the monstrous things, big size, whether in the evil dimension, that they actually join, spirits join together to enhance each other's forces. Now, the joining seems to be slightly different from the spiritual dimension, because I told Pastor David, from your side, you're looking at them. From their side, there are these archangels join you. You do not know what it looks like. From their side, they might see this huge Jesus, rebuking them while you rebuke them. Because it forms a shape spiritually that you can't see because you're inside. And it's that side. But we know one thing. If the whole body of Christ were to be one, you know what we will look like? Jesus in a spiritual dimension. It will be like a magnification of Jesus in all his fullness. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, we are the body of Christ. And the whole church mature to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And so there's a unity of the Spirit that is very powerful. That's why when two people, let's say Pastor David and I are quite one in the Spirit. When two people can unite together and they are really one in the way they do things, release a lot of powerful forces. It's important for each one of you to be one with one another. If you have your team and those who are here, you unite together, or people, you know, they can unite in your spirit. When you unite together, you grow faster. You speed up each other's growth. And not only that, you can do things better, receive things, and it feeds on each other. Which is why this is the first time that Pastor David go recce with me. And the dynamics of the system was there. And So after the recce, he says, yeah, it's different because there were things he received, he got no one to confirm with when he's alone. But when he's with me, sometimes I receive it and talk about it, and then he confirmed. Sometimes he receives it and I can confirm what I also heard. And so you have to be at an equal level to be able to confirm, to receive. Which is why every one of you need to be trained to hear the Lord, to hear. See, when Pastor David looks at me, he knows what I'm thinking. Sometimes when I look at him, I know what he's thinking in the spirit. And when I receive something in the spirit, I could hear him receiving it too. And so the same way. So there are qualities of certain angels, or the category 1 worship, category 2, they're in charge of forces and governments. And like, for example, angels in charge of weathers. I call them my weather angels. They're category 2. I'm in tune with them all the time. And then category 3 are like these warring angels and all these different type of angels in charge of the works of God. And some of you have spirit beings, some of you might have angels. Spirit beings are category 2. And the one Melchizedek you have, that one merged with your spirit. That's interesting. And so it's important for us to understand this dimension. But if they merge, what caused the merging? How do we work with them? As I say, the first level is emotions. No, even at that level, many don't qualify. So what do the angels do? They just watch from afar. But when your emotions are Galatians 5:22-23, that's easy for them to flow. You always focus on the love of God, the peace of God, the joy. See, by default, you're always a peaceful, loving, joyful person. You're not someone... If you're someone who cannot forgive people easily, then you know how hard it was for the angels. Your angels are at the moment... Oh. So you don't want your angels to do that. Make sure the fruit of the Spirit is in your life. And if you're someone who yields to negative emotions all the time, tough work. I have great compassion on your angels. Don't make the life of your angels so difficult. I mean, they'll be assigned to you. If they were not assigned to you, they would have left you long, long ago. And flow with the things of the Spirit. Sing worship song. Always lift yourself up. Because you will find this as you grow. emotions are your choice. Say, I didn't know I could choose. You could. Emotions are like thoughts. You can't help certain thoughts come to you, but you can choose not to think them. You can't help sometimes you're caught in the atmosphere and all the emotions around the atmosphere and around the people around you affects you. But that was not your choice. But you can choose to come out of that emotional situation and choose the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit. And the second level is thoughts, which I mentioned, and we were reading 2 Corinthians 10. I haven't forgotten that. Says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says in verse 1, now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you, and notice his emotions, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I present, I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are the strongholds? Casting down arguments. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. As being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now notice that arguments, every high thing that is against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. It's not just some thoughts. Every thought. To work with the angels, your thought life and your mind has to be renewed. Which is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, present your body as a living sacrifice and your mind to be renewed. Think the thoughts of God. Because if your thoughts are filled with negative thoughts, your thought life is filled with your own thoughts, every time worrying. And how can the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, the thoughts of the Father, the thoughts of angels be transmitted into your life? Tell me how. It's almost impossible. It's like you're out of frequency, out of touch with them. And the only way to be, you can walk close with God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the angels of God without open vision. Like Smith Wigglesworth did. You're sensitive to everything that the Holy Spirit speaks. And everything, and you know when the angels are telling you some things, instructing you, because your thoughts are clear. See, what is happening in the mind? See, my mind doesn't wander, not at all. So there are times where I set my mind just to worship mode, and it's always, inside it's always singing, worshiping. No other thoughts. And I do think about natural things, but I think natural thing, I got to pull myself up and think about natural thing, then finish, because you got responsible things to do on earth, finish whatever you need, then you got to switch back and then you go back. The default mode is always Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, 8, 9, 10. Things that have virtue, things that are true, things that are good, things that are pure, and you focus your thoughts on that. And it's in that atmosphere and the Word of God that you can hear what is being spoken to you and through the thought dimension. And it is, one, you can be sensitive to what's happening in the thought dimension. Now back to where our illustration was in the book of Luke chapter 1. The emotions of Zacharias have to be calm. So the angel Gabriel says, angel actually says, be not afraid. And do not be afraid, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Now as he was speaking all those things, a rush of thoughts come to Zechariah. And Zechariah was thinking many thoughts. A whole lot of thoughts, and his thoughts was running like some people's thought. How can this be? How can it be like that? How can you? The thought is running wild. And so it says here, Zechariah, what he think he speak, he says, how shall I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is very advanced in years. See, all this doubt he expressed. And the angel says, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words. So, what was happening? His thoughts run wild. All natural process thinking. And that hinder the work of the angel. He has to be shut up. Say, why shut up? Because that point to number three. When it reaches the thought realm, and then the spoken realm, when you say it, it's sealed. Now, this is the most dangerous part. Words justify or bind you. Your own words, not somebody else's word. If someone curse you or someone bless you, blessed are those who bless you, cursed are those who curse you. And there's a teaching going around that you're affected because somebody cursed and all that. People are cursing God all the time. You think it affects God a little bit? No, doesn't. Haven't you forgotten Genesis 12 verse 1 and 2? It didn't say one or two curse, right? It say as many as, you know, the meaning is as many people curse you, they themselves will get cursed. It won't affect you at all. But those who bless you, they will be blessed. And that is Abraham's blessing. And we can show theologically that you have inherited Abraham's blessing. If you need a verse, Galatians 3 verse 13 and 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through the Holy Spirit. The blessings of Abraham include the blessings of immunity to curses. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, it says here, in verse 36, 37, but I say to you, that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in a day of judgment. By your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. So it's important what you say with your mouth. So sometimes we joke, sometimes I joke, Pastor David, I joke with each other a lot, but there are certain areas I will not say with my words. I will never say something that's against the Bible. I will never say something that is a reason of doubt or unbelief. So it's important what we say. Now, by the time you say it, especially if you feel it, you think it, and you say it, you can even rob yourself of a blessing of God. You can even shut out an angel out of your life. Because one day, Pastor David experienced it, when he actually, you know, was not open to angels in those days, when he just didn't want the angels anymore, they disappeared. And the moment they disappeared, he talked about how the demons came. And attacked him until he was told, call the angels. Then they came. And then the demons disappeared. For him, it was all open vision because he is open vision. So that was the way God teach him the lesson. Words are very important. Idle words. Not just words you plan to say. Words you say when you are not thinking. And a spiritual person, although Pastor David and I can preach, spend a lot of time talking, when we are most of the time on our own, we talk very little. We only talk, or we fellowship, then we walk. Because fellowship, you need to say something to encourage people. But most of the time, very, very quiet. And so the same way, the control of the tongue reveals your spirituality. If you cannot control your tongue is loose. No matter how you clothe yourself, you're not a spiritual person. Because according to the book of James, that spirituality is measured on control of the tongue. Book of James, after the book of Hebrews, the book of James, it says in the book of James chapter 3, and it implies here in James chapter 3 that the tongue controls a lot of things. It illustrates the tongue as that in verse 2. We all stumble in many things, it says. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. You can control everything else. Words are important. And then he illustrates the tongue as a center of control. He illustrates a horse. To control the entire horse, you put the bit into the horse. And no matter how powerful or strong the horse, with the tiny little thing in the mouth, you can pull the horse any direction you want. It was not the strength, the power of the horse, it's who controls the horse. So the tongue is like the controller of the horse, a bit in the horse mouth. Verse 4, the tongue is like the little rudder that controls the entire ship. Your ship can be powerful, but which direction it travels depends on the little rudder that moves the direction. And you know what moves a plane? The engine. But what moves the direction of the plane? After all, the plane, the propeller, is a fixed position. Unless the plane's propeller changes, because then you know that can change direction. But in a fixed aircraft engine, the propeller is fixed. Or in a jet engine, the only thing the jet engine knows how to do is go forwards. It doesn't have direction. So what controls the direction in all the planes we travel? Boeing 747 or A380? A tiny little flap in the tail. With all these forces, just the flap goes, it changes direction. Which is why anything happened to the tail, find it very hard to control the direction. And true enough, as you all know, if the jet engine is there and you put something at the jet engine, let's say it can stand the heat, all the forces of the jet engine will push in any direction. And whatever direction it pushes, the plane or jet will go whichever. Just a little thing. Just this little balancing thing in the wing. So the next time you look at aircraft, look at how big the aircraft is. Look at the tail portion, how tiny it is. I mean, in proportion to us, it could be still big. But in proportion to the plane, it's the tiny little fella at the back. But if that thing got spoiled, the plane cannot balance, the plane cannot turn. That's the most dangerous situation. And also, of course, besides the rudder in the ship, it says in verse 5, the tongue is a little member. And most great thing, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, world iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that defiles the whole body. And so it talks about how important it is to control the tongue. Angels are listening all the time to the words we say, to the words we think, especially your guardian angels, those who are assigned to you. And listening to your heartbeat of your emotions, listening to the thoughts. So there are three levels. At level one, they say stop, which is what Sharma did, told Pastor David. Don't even think. So you might still feel it, cannot think. Thought life must meditate on something else. But when something goes into the thought dimension, positive or negative, it's a higher level. By the time it goes to your words and you speak, which is why sometimes if your emotion not 100% there yet, your mind not there yet, but your words you control by meditating the word, speaking the word, you are actually like reverse engineering. You're slowly building things into yourself until you become more careful with your words. And thus, angels react. And Pastor David has seen where sometimes the person says certain word, whoa, 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 and the angel actually sort of either takes off a blessing or release a blessing in their own life. And of course, there's a period of grace before the blessings are taken. which one must realize. He said, hey, you know, I didn't mean to do this, didn't say it. Then that's not taken out of your life. But it's very essential that we know when we work with angels and you want angels to work closely with you, these are the three areas that are very important. And as we train ourselves in this all-night prayer and prepare to grow deeper into the Lord, we know that great things are in store, that God's going to bring greater and greater things into our life. Be aware as you pray throughout the night what's happening in your emotions. And sometimes God uses that even as a detector, where somebody could be praying for a lost person. Then emotionally you feel lost. Or you could be praying for somebody else and you feel what I call, I've given a scientific term for that, intercessory sensation. Which means as you intercede for the object of your intercession, instead of God talking to you in words, He transmits everything that the person feels to you. So you feel as if you're that person. And so be sensitive. So that might not be your own emotions, you might just be picking up certain things. And, but yet you need to be aware. We must always be aware. To be led by the Spirit, you must always be aware of what's happening within your emotional sector. And when God is not using that section to give you intercessory sensation, then the default should be the fruit of the Spirit in your own life. Should be the fruit of the Spirit. And nothing else. No unforgiveness, no anger, no jealousy, no envy, no other human negative emotion. But only love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance always flowing in your heart. And the second level is your thoughts. Watch every single thought. And of course, the best way is just to let your mind be filled with God's love and let music fill your heart and mind. And sometimes when I'm not, it is possible to have a mind still in God without any thoughts intruding by music. And for me, I can pray in tongues silently. Say, how? You know, the sounds that I pray, I'm still hearing it in my thoughts. And so when I'm praying in my spirit, that's my spirit praying. And instead of, you know how when you pray in tongues, sometimes your mind runs over? For me, it's opposite. When I pray in tongues, my mind listens also. So you reach a stage where your mind listens. So when I pray in tongues, I can allow my mind to wander, or I can pull back my mind and let my mind listen. After experiencing that, then I realized I could pray in the spirit without even saying a word. And I'm praying in the spirit right now. And no words came out of me, but I just spoken about several sentences in tongues. And so my spirit man can pray. That's how I can differentiate between the spirit man and the natural man. Because the spirit man operates differently. So sometimes I set myself to the mode of that flow. Love, joy, the love of God, the word of God, or just praying in the spirit, or singing in the spirit. You notice why suddenly singing must come in and being filled with the spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit means, now tell me what it means you feel the Spirit. Does it include your spirit man? Yes. Does it include your soul? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Have to include your soul. Does it include your physical body? Feel. In a sense, it must affect you. Whatever tensions in your body, it must affect you. So being filled with the Spirit is filled spirit, soul, and body. Now, what is your soul? Your emotions. Your will, your mind. And so, my mind is singing. So you could get your mind to sing. Think of a tune. Don't think of a song. Think of a tune. And in your mind, you're playing the tune. When you're playing the tune, your mind is silent. So, they have made a movie called A Beautiful Mind. Talking about brilliant mathematician. But you could have a singing mind. I know you got singing heart. When your heart sings loud enough, your mind also joins in the choir. A singing mind. I could think of a tune And the next time your mind is running all over, you learn to rein in your mind. As you begin to rein, your mind is like a wild horse. As you rein in your mind, some people say, does 2 Corinthians 10, can it really be true? It is really true. You can control absolutely every single thought that goes through you. Through singing, through meditation, through praying in tongues silently. And it goes for, it's a great place to be. And when I pray in tongues silently, I'm not trying to think. My mind is just sitting like in worshipful and bended and yielded. And sometimes out of the silence and peace comes a thought that comes from God. And so it's important to be able to move into the thing. Angels sense our thoughts. Angels sense our thoughts. What you think, they know. Some of you experienced when we've gone to Madaba. I was in the lead car, and Pastor David was behind. And when we took a wrong route, and we missed the main route that turns to the hotel near the Dead Sea, and we were driving from further north downwards towards the Dead Sea. And that direction means that there is a place, a historical place where they have John's baptism place. It's a historical place to visit. And the signs were coming up. I did remember when I read that it's going to be in that direction, that as I was going, in my mind, I was just thinking, okay, we can go to that before we go to the hotel, since it's here, it's flying coming up. As I was just thinking that, Sharma, who was with Pastor David in his car, says, he's thinking of stopping. And everyone was hungry, but for me, food is low priority. And so everyone but I'm hungry, you know, everybody want to eat. And so he says, he's thinking of stopping at the baptism site. I did not even say one word. I forgot who was in my car with me. Were you in my car at the time, Madaba? Oh, you're not yet there. Right. I forgot who were in my car. And you were in my car. I was driving. Okay. I didn't say anything. I was just driving. I was just thinking. Sharma read my thoughts and said, he's thinking of going to the baptism site. And Pastor David, who was very hungry, quickly speed up. Did he tell you why he speed up? He said, Sharma said that I was thinking of going to baptism site. Okay, you were in his car. So he quickly speed up and look for me to follow him. So that by the time the baptism site come, I still got to follow him to the hotel where we had lunch. And it all happened in thoughts. No words spoken. And sometimes, Pastor David, I can be far apart. I'm thinking something, and I know Sharma just spoke to me something. And then I speak something back to him. And then, all in thoughts. Now, some of you were in Mukave with me, right? And one by one, we were being blessed. So, Maiten was there first. And so, when he was praying, prophesying over me, Pastor David was prophesying over me, he has open vision. So he said, Archangel Raphael is there. Okay. And he wants to grant you whatever you ask. And say, he's going to grant you whatever you ask now. Wow, what a blessing. So I never say one word. So in my mind, I knew that I could send thought prayers. So I sent thought prayers and I was sort of saying, because with me, I got 14 things. That I've been praying all my life since 1979. So I was wondering which things to take. So as I was looking at which things to take, Pastor David was about to lay hands already. And then Archangel Raphael says, he wants more than one thing. Yeah. Pastor David was, hey, can you do that? He was also taken by surprise. I never say one word. It all happened in thoughts. I never even say one word. It all happened in thought. And he was about to, that's me, suddenly, Archangel Raphael said, he's asking for more than one thing. And Pastor David was reacting, can you do that? And Pastor Lee cannot read my mind. He only know because he read what Raphael was telling him. And it was all silent. Not you heard anybody actually talking anything. And then in the end, I settled for four things. I had told Pastor Dave what the four things are. And when I was all ready, then only Anjali said, okay, it's ready now. And then he prayed for me. All happened in thoughts. Not one word spoken. How powerful are thoughts? If you understand what the thought realm is to the angels and the quality, it's something like that. Like, we thought thoughts are just thoughts. But when you examine thoughts, you find there's a whole lot to it. It is just like long ago, before science, they thought the whole world is made of fire, water, earth, or metal. Remember, they thought everything is made from all this. That's why they tried a long time to create gold, those alchemists long ago. But do you know, there are 92 elements on the earth. And these 92 make up everything. From hydrogen up to uranium. The others after uranium are all artificial, created man-made. And they are fixed elements. Elements prevent, you can use elements to create chemical change. But to change the element into one to another, it has to be atomic level. To crack down at the atomic level to make them into one element to another. So the early people thought only 3-4 things make up everything. 92 elements that made up all the chemical nature of all that we see around on the earth. So sometimes we think the thought realm is just a simple thing. Yeah, there are negative thoughts, positive thoughts, strong thoughts, weak thoughts, that's it. When you go into it, you realize, wow, there are this dimension of thoughts. It's because you're not looking at it, then you don't realize these dimensions are there. But when you begin to enter into the realm of silence, meditative thought, and you begin to realize that so many dimensions of thoughts, qualities of thoughts that are there. So the thought realm is important. And of course, lastly, in conclusion again, spoken words. What you finally say or declare. And a little bit of declaration release the angels a lot. Sometimes negative things that one declare or say wrongly sometimes can seal a person's fate. People have died because they open doors by their mouth. They can be good people. People say, hey, they didn't do anything wrong. Why these things happen? Watch what they say. What they say might open a door to the enemy working in their lives. So it's important because angels are there working with us. And so we're going to enter a time of just worship. We're going to pray and worship. And remember, if you need a piece of paper, whatever, that from the time you start praying until 5 a.m. in the morning, where we're going to help you understand all that's happening, of what I call your consciousness of the work of God, His Spirit, and His angels. Praise God. Let's all rise together as we sing, praise the name of Jesus, and then we go into prayer as we slowly soften the lights and enter the prayer. So in the morning at 5 a.m. when we gather together, or before that as the Spirit leads, we'll look at what impressions, thoughts, visions, dreams, or whatever you have, and help you to differentiate what's happening in your consciousness. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Is my rock, is my fortress, is my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Jesus is my rock, is my fortress, is my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Hangi mahangi brahangi bahashtala mangi biriyandala mash. Angi biriyandala mahasiri.